Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for being with us. And now we ask that as your word is read and your word is proclaimed, you would silence within us any voice but your own. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you really want to get to know somebody, I mean really get to know who they are and what they're about, go on a road trip with them. I met my wife, Amy, 26 years ago. We've had lots of conversations in 26 years, but some of the most meaningful and memorable conversations we've ever had have been while we've been traveling together. Many years ago, in a time of our life we refer to as BC, as in before children, on the spur of the moment, we decided to take a road trip with some dear friends. We rented a van at the Atlanta airport and drove it to Utah and back, stretching the rental car's definition of unlimited mileage. But to this very day, whenever we gather with those friends, we reminisce about that crazy road trip and have a good laugh all over again. It's true that if you really want to get to know somebody, I mean really come to know who they are and what they're about, go on a road trip. That's true about our family, and it's true about friends, and it is certainly true of Jesus. When we come to our story for today, Jesus and the disciples, they've been on the road. They've left their hometown fishing villages nestled along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they've ventured north into villages and towns. And along the way, Jesus has been teaching and preaching in parables. And we learned last week, we were reminded by our youth so beautifully, that a parable is a short story that is told to illustrate a larger truth about the kingdom of God. For example, as David Magrino so beautifully illustrated for us, the kingdom of God can be compared to a mustard seed. It is the smallest of seeds, and it is planted, and the dirt washes over it. And it grows into a large bush so big that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And so as the disciples have been on this road trip going north with Jesus, they've been listening to his parables, they've been coming to know more about who he is and what he's all about. But when we come to our story for today, there's been a change in direction. No longer are Jesus and the disciples making their way north. No, now they're headed south. And Jesus is not headed home. They're not headed to Capernaum or to Nazareth or anywhere in Galilee. No, the destination has been set of Jerusalem. So listen now for a word from God, beginning in Matthew chapter 16, actually beginning at verse 21. Listen now for a word from God. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you really want to get to know somebody, really know who they are and what they're about, go on a road trip. And I imagine that for Peter, as he walked with Jesus, as he observed the impact that Jesus was having on so many people in village after village, Peter became convinced that this Jesus was no ordinary rabbi, no ordinary teacher, no ordinary man. Peter was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. And remember, Messiah was a loaded title. Messiah was the one foretold and promised by the Hebrew Scriptures, the one who would restore the nation, the one who would bring glory not seen since the days of King David. And just before where we began reading in today's passage, Jesus had asked his disciples point blank. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter had given his confession. He said, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus said, "And you, Simon, shall be known as Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And so as now Peter senses that they're making their way toward Jerusalem, I wonder if he had envisioned about what was about to come to pass. Perhaps he envisioned them entering into Jerusalem to adoring crowds and blaring trumpets in a grand celebration, the likes of which had not been seen in Jerusalem in 1,000 years. And then Jesus begins to tell all of them openly about how when they get to Jerusalem, he's going to undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Jesus began to tell them plainly about how when they arrived in Jerusalem, he was going to be killed and then be raised again on the third day. And so for Peter, this just didn't fit with his mental picture of who he understood Jesus to be. It didn't fit with how he understood what it meant to be the Messiah. So Peter tried to pull Jesus aside to talk some sense to him. "Ixnay on the crucifixion's day." That's Ryan's Pig Latin translation of Matthew's Greek. Cool it with all this betrayal and death talk. But Jesus would have none of it. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me," he said. And 6 days later, Jesus invited Peter and the brothers James and John to take a side trip, to take a hike, to hike up a high mountain, just the four of them. And on the mountain, Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and there appeared with him Moses and Elijah. And then came the cloud, the bright cloud covering everything and everyone. And out of the cloud came this voice, "This is my Son, listen to him." And Peter and James and John were overcome with fear. And they did what most people do when they're overcome. They fell down and they hid their faces. But then Jesus came and touched them and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." It's a weird story. It is. It's a strange story. It's a story that interpreters and theologians have wrestled with for generations. And so as I returned to it again this week, my attention was Not so much captured by Peter's confession or the appearance of Moses and Elijah or the cloud or the voice. What captured my imagination this week was these words from Jesus. Get up and do not be afraid. Get up and do not be afraid. And as I sat with those words, I found myself having some conversation with Jesus. And it went something like this. Do not be afraid, Jesus. You just told us that this train is bound for Jerusalem, and at the end of the track there's a cross with your name on it, and maybe ours too. Do not be afraid. You brought us up here onto this mountain, and here we are having visions and hearing voices. And Jesus, your face, have you seen your face? Who's going to believe us when we tell them this? Do not be afraid, Jesus. You keep talking in these weird stories about mustard seeds and bushes. You keep teaching and challenging all of our notions about who's in and who's out and who's on top and who's on bottom. You keep turning upside down our understanding of how the world is and how it will be in days to come. Get up and do not be afraid. And Jesus, I don't know if you've been following the news, but there are real life UFOs. Real life, unidentified flying objects that our government is shooting down over our heads. And they're like, I don't know. We can't find it. It fell into Lake Huron. There are train derailments and chemical spills and mass shootings and mass shootings and mass shootings. And there are missile tests and wars, all out wars. And those are headlines just from this week. And you come and say, get up and don't be afraid. And Jesus, truth is, there are things that will never make the headlines, but that terrify us to our core. A diagnosis with the word tumor. Child who is struggling mightily to find their way. A trust that has been betrayed. Coming to the end of the money long before coming to the end of the month. And the list goes on and on. It's enough, Jesus, to leave anybody on the ground with their nose in the dirt. And here you come and you have the audacity to touch us and gently say, get up and do not be afraid. Or more accurately, if Matthew has it correctly, you said, be raised, be resurrected. Do not be afraid. What is this about? Because I got to tell you, Jesus, sounds mean. It sounds mean to tell somebody, shake it off. Get up. Don't be afraid. It's mean unless, Jesus, you really are who you say you are. Maybe you really are who the voice from the cloud said that you are. Maybe you really are God's son. The beloved, the one with whom God is well pleased. What was it? It was so much was happening on that mountain. What was it the voice said we were to do? Listen to him. Listen. It is so noisy around here, Jesus. There are so many distractions, so many loud voices all the time, telling us what we should do and what we should wear and what we should buy, for whom we should vote, whom we should hate, of whom we should be terrified. There's so much information and misinformation and disinformation. There's so much noise. Listen to him. You know what we need is some time, some quiet time period of time, like I'm thinking 40 days is a good biblical number where we can be intentional about tuning out all of those distractions, turning down the noise so that we could better hear Jesus. I've been told it takes 3 weeks to form a habit. Maybe we should double it, like 6 weeks. And develop some new habits in place of old ones. Like maybe when we pick up our phone off the nightstand in the morning, the first thing that we open isn't our social media or email or weather app. But you know, you can get the whole Bible on your phone now. Maybe we need a little more focused time just to be with each other every day. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, Jesus, the days are getting longer. Staying light later, maybe some walks in the early morning or in the evening. What might we call a season where the days are getting longer, where we focus on listening to your voice and tuning out the noise and distractions? What might we call this period of time where we walk together with you toward Jerusalem as we continue to come to know you, to come to know what you're really all about? What might we call this 40 days, this 6 weeks, as the days grow in length? Maybe we should call it Lent. Get up. Be raised. Do not be afraid, you say. Okay, if you really are who you say you are, if you really are who the voice says you are, okay, Jesus, let's go. Thanks be to God.